Everybody knows in the second life we all come back sooner or later. As anything from a pussycat to a man-eating alligator. Well, you all may think my story is more fiction than it's fact, but believe it or not, my mother did decide she'd come back as a car. She's a very own guiding star, a 1928 Ford. That's my mother did. She helps me through everything I do, and I'm so glad she's here. My mother the car.
Hello, my media masochists. Welcome to a very special remote viewing edition of The Worst Show on Earth. I'm Matt Murphy, and I did not have to drive very far to get to my recording studio today. With me is Alex Humphrey.
Hi, I'm Alex Humphrey, and I have no relationship with my car.
And we are blessed by the mighty gods of technology to be joined today by Rachel Bieber.
Hello.
It's so wonderful to have you back again, Rachel.
Thank you. I do have to say I also did not have to drive very far to get to my recording studio because I am recording from my own living room.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's very fitting that our recording studio here at Grave House is in our garage.
Oh, that's very true. Very appropriate.
It is.
Because today, gentle listeners, we have endured something that has survived the test of time.
Has it?
It's true. This is boomer bad TV. This is from 1965.
Yeah, it's bad. But it's in color.
I think it would have been more charming if it were black and white. Like Mr. Ed. We watched 1965's My Mother, the Car. My Mother, the Car is starring a man named Jerry Van Dyke, who happens to be Dick Van Dyke's younger brother.
What a lovely factoid.
True fact. And he plays David Crabtree. A man who just was meandering about a used car lot one day when an old Model T, a Porter, starts talking to him.
I would like a point of order. It is a 1928 Porter.
I'm sorry, you weren't recognized by the chair?
That's because I'm wearing a mask.
Oh, that's
true.
And
we're sitting on a couch. Visual humor for an audio play.
That's right. We're breaking new ground here. So the Porter starts talking to him through the radio. The radio blinks. It's very similar, I found, to Knight Rider's kit.
Is this mother that's the car, the mother of Knight Rider's kit?
That's a great headcanon, honestly.
No, it isn't. That's how cars were. I really don't want to think about my car having sex with other cars.
Alex, we have it on record.
We have it on record
that one of your favorite films is Southland Tales.
Okay, that does have a car fucking scene. And it is incredibly bizarre.
What?
We review TV, not bad cinema, which Southland Tales may or may not be.
But yeah, Rachel, you don't remember the car fucking scene in Southland Tales?
I did not watch that with you because I have taste. Or did you forget?
Southland Tales transcends taste.
Does it?
And time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Literally time. We've definitely digressed, though.
Yes.
So who is your car, Rachel?
Who's my car? Like, who would I...
Yeah. Great uncle?
Oh,
Great-grandfather? Grandfather?
No. Nope. None of those.
None of those. You're saying your car is not possessed strangely by any of your relative spirits?
No. No. I'm going to go with no.
Imagine your car was possessed by one of your relative spirits. Would you try to convince your family that that was the case?
No, I would sell the car.
You would sell the car.
You would sell your own blood?
Well, that is kind of the plot of episode one.
Yeah, that is the plot of episode one. And what I didn't understand is why is he such a schmo that he didn't threaten his mother that he would go ahead and sell her if she didn't reveal herself to the wife?
Because he is utterly pathetic, as episode two shows us.
Oh my God, he's so pathetic.
Yes, we watched the first two episodes of the show. The first episode is called Come Honk Your Horn.
It doesn't... Maybe it's dated.
There was no laugh track for this show.
Oh my God.
That was a relief.
No, I have never missed a laugh track war because I couldn't tell what's supposed to be a joke.
Well, when she said, don't do that, she meaning the car, when the car said, don't do that, you'll bust through the roof, and then he busted through the roof, was that not obviously a joke?
That was clear, but most of the other lines in the show are just delivered in a kind of deadpan, sort of sad way. And I, for a solid 5 minutes of this show, I'm like, has there been a joke yet? Is this, is the humor that she's the car? Because that's the premise, like... Are we supposed to be, like, splitting our sides over the fact that there's a ghost in a car?
Yeah, what a dumb premise.
She was reincarnated. See, I'm really
surprised. That's certainly where the joke came from.
I really wish they had hammered that home, at least. Like, it just feels like it was just hanging there the whole time.
Like all bad comedies, this one doesn't really understand how to manage its jokes or humor. It either spends too long on a joke or abandons it immediately without milking it for any humor.
You mean like an entire episode where a weird guy chases him around and tries to buy his car from him?
Why, that is episode one, yes.
Oh! So
let's establish our cast a bit. There's David Crabtree.
Yeah.
Who is a doofus, but like his mom's his car, so...
He's so pathetic. He's so sad. He has a stutter. He clearly has confidence issues. He probably had an aneurysm in the parking lot, and now he thinks this car is his mother.
It's a very archetypal, like, the male character is a stubborn fool, and the wife is, like, nervous but loyal, because he has a wife whose name is...
Barbara.
She has lines. She deserves a name. The children are just daughter and son. They have no personality whatsoever.
They have names.
Cindy and Randy.
The dog's name is Moon.
Yeah. And he has more personality than the children.
He's so cute.
He was cute, it's true.
But yeah, they're a nuclear family. Two kids and a dog. The plot of episode one is that his car, which is, it looks like a wreck. It's dusty, it's beaten up. But apparently this is a collectible. And as he parks in his driveway, and after he concerns his family that he's had an aneurysm, or before?
It's after, yeah. He does try to convince his family that his mother or their grandmother is the car. It's very sad, especially without the laugh track.
And it's played as sad. Like, the entire family is giving each other looks. His wife is having a breakdown where she's like, oh God, he's hearing voices. And everyone's very concerned for him. And he ends the scene because he pushes it and pushes it and pushes it. And his mother, the car, won't talk because he's probably crazy. At some point, he just, like, lies to his wife. And you're like, oh, okay, I see how it's going
to
be.
At the instruction of his car mother.
Yeah, she has a scene with him prior to this where she takes control, because apparently she can do that, of the car, endangers everyone's lives by veering around the street, and then tells him to tell his wife that the motor of the car is worth 3 times the price of the car.
As a cover story.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense, but the show makes less sense later.
It's believable, so believable. It's just really dumb.
He tells his wife this lie, and you're like, okay, so we've established the stake. He's lied to her, so he has to keep it a secret that his car is his mother. And then in the very next scene with her, he's back to arguing the point that the car is his mother. Like, the scenes don't have continuity between each other.
A story.
Yeah.
Like, not even forget continuity of like, what's in the shot. But we also have our villain of the piece to introduce, Captain Manzini. It's unclear if he has the title of Captain or if his first name is actually Captain.
I think it's his first name.
He is a shorter, well-dressed, very rich man with an excellent mustache.
And a driver.
And he really wants that car.
Hmm.
That car's a MILF. He wants that car.
A G-MILF. I am slightly convinced that he wants to bone the car. Like, the way he was looking at it reminded me of, like, like teenage boys peeking into the girl's locker room.
Yeah, because he meets him and he tries to buy the car and David won't sell the car. And he gets increasingly frustrated. And then spends the...
Which should have been the end of it.
And then spends the subsequent montage chasing him around the city in his car, putting up offers in the windshield, like, of his own car. Like, he's holding up cue cards with monetary offers, which culminates in this, like, scene where he goes through a car wash.
Yes.
And the car falls apart, and he's forced to push his mother, the car. David is forced to push his mother, the car, through the car wash.
It's so funny, Alex. So funny.
And it has, like, a kind of Yakety Sax knockoff playing, like,
oh, that's just music in the 60s, Alex. That's all music from the 60s.
And the montage, it just makes no sense. The show makes no sense. Like, none. I can't get over the fact, because the resolution to this episode, I don't want to spoil it because we'll be getting ahead of ourselves, but the resolution to this episode is nonsense.
What?
The resolution is nonsense, because Manzini comes back, and this time Barbara's out there, and Manzini offers $1,000 for the car, and she's like, David, we are selling this car for $1,000, because that's shitloads of money in 1965. And David cooks up this scheme with his mother, the car. She's like...
It get dumber every time you say it.
Because Barbara goes inside to get the deed, and he, like, locks Manzini in the garage, which achieves nothing, and his mother, the car... is like, just get Manzini to offer $1,500 for me.
In front of Barbara.
In front of Barbara. Because he's gone up so much. And David's like, brilliant. And we, the audience, are like,
wait, what?
Why?
Is it? It just makes the offer more enticing.
Yeah.
David talks to Barbara, and he's like, he's going to offer $1,500 for the car next. And she's like, he would never. And he's like, you watch. And so they go over to him, and he's already seated Manzini with, I'll sell it for $1,500. And so Manzini's like, $1,500. And Barbara's like, oh my God, he did offer $1,500.
Let's refuse.
We're refusing it.
It's so dumb. And she's like, oh, how did you know? And then they leave. That's it. That's the whole episode.
She's suddenly stricken with him and just gives in. He guessed the number. And so and Manzini just leaves. He's like, oh, darn, like, 1,500 was somehow the magic number. Like, it was a weird game of blackjack where if he went over a certain number, the scene was over.
And then Barbara becomes a Stepford wife, literally says, yes, dear, and they walk away.
And if this is confusing to you, dear listeners, it's only because it is confusing to watch. The show is paced really weirdly, too. Like, some scenes drag on and others just are over super fast.
There's other things about this show I find confusing.
Oh, please, give it to me.
So, we know for a fact that Mother, whose name is never said, by the way.
Mm-hmm. It's just Mother.
It's just Mother. Mother died on August 23rd, 1949. But the car was built in 1928. What the heck?
Okay, that isn't really how reincarnation works, though. Like, this is a possession. Who wants to watch 13 minutes of a guy turning a light switch on and off?
Well, to be fair, he also went upstairs between switching the light switch.
We're talking about episode 2 now. Episode 2, I think half of the episode is spent on light switch.
Yes.
Yeah, episode 2 is entitled The Defenders.
So the opening shot is David Crabtree polishing his mother. In the driveway.
The car.
His mother, the car. He's polishing her. And his neighbor comes up. This was supposed to set up the whole my neighbor is really nosy thing, which kind of was interesting in that it flipped it on its head because it's usually the female neighbor that's super nosy, like in Bewitched.
So you're saying it's a smart show?
No, I'm saying that might be the smartest thing the show did. And it was super dumb.
So episode 2 is about car strippers, because the neighbor mentions that there's, like, car strippers in the neighborhood.
Just so you know, that's not people who strip in front of cars. These are not exotic dancers.
Or cars that strip.
These are people who steal car parts.
Yes, yeah, steal car parts.
And this is punctuated when, like, another neighbor drives by in just the, like...
bare minimum.
The chassis. Just the chassis.
The chassis of a car. Everything else is gone because the strippers wouldn't take the wheels or anything.
The only decent gag in the whole show.
I would disagree. Episode 2 had a couple gags that landed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Episode two was a step up over episode one, but also a massive step down from episode one in other ways.
Yes, less happens in episode two.
Almost nothing happens in episode two. It's kind of the point of the episode.
I don't know. There's a lot of switching. There's the remote control switch.
Oh my God, that gag. I forgot before the light switch gag, there is another 5 minutes spent on a different switch gag.
Ugh, which means nothing.
Because, so there's this gag, the plot of the episode is that he's terrified his mother is going to get stripped. His mother, the car. It starts with this gag where he keeps sitting on the remote control, then blaming his kids for changing the channel.
Yes.
And this gag repeated, what, like seven times?
It was a lot.
It was four times. But what is interesting about it is, have you ever seen a remote control like that?
Oh, yeah. Old timey. Four little white switches on it.
Yeah, it had four switches. Mm-hmm. Just four. As a cultural piece, that's kind of interesting to see.
The most interesting part of My Mother the Car was a prop remote control.
I thought it was really interesting seeing what I am assuming is the San Fernando Valley and the West Side being shot on camera in color in 1965.
But we barely see anything. The show doesn't use establishing shots. Most of the show's shots are just of, like, the door, the wall, the garage. We have maybe we get, like, a few shots of the city across the episode. In episode one, but we didn't get any of that in episode two.
We have some in the intro, but that's really it. Yeah. There's four sets. The driveway, the garage, the living room, and the parents' bedroom. And that is it.
You're talking about the second episode.
Yeah, in the mm-hmm. second episode.
Because in the first episode, we had car wash.
We had the dealership.
The dealership, the car wash, and the car repair, and that was like a surgery. They were, like, doing surgery, and he was super nervous.
Yeah. That was another gag that didn't work.
Yeah. Full of gags that don't work.
Yeah.
Because the timing was off. The jokes never landed with good timing. The show had no timing at all.
Needed some sort of mechanism for keeping things in time. A regular rotation that helped it to propel the plot forward. Perhaps some sort of belt. A timing belt. That's a car joke, everyone.
Brilliant.
But drawn out, like all the jokes in this show.
So, are you saying you didn't like my joke?
To the heart of episode two, because I want to get through this episode so we can talk about the wholeness of the show.
Light switches.
The whole point of this episode is that David is afraid for his mother's car, but also the world's biggest moron.
Yeah.
Because he first fights with his mother over leaving the, like, garage light on. Then when he wins that fight, his wife makes him go turn the garage light off. And then he, like, puts two locks on the garage door because the light's not on. And this is after he goes up and down a couple times about the light switch with the garage light.
Yeah, I found that Barb's needling was pretty full of resentment.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's like, I have clearly married a lunatic.
An idiot.
Ugh. I have children with this lunatic. We don't even know if he has a fucking job.
He can't even open the window in his room. That's one of the gags. He can't open the window, but she does it effortlessly.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, his toe was tied to a string that was connected to a bucket that he was being pulled on by the dog who was outside.
Oh, right. Yeah, because he decides to set a booby trap on the door in case car strippers come. I need to step back. He must go up and down that staircase, turning that light off. 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
Before we get to other non-light switch based gags. Like the bucket. And the light switch comes back later. But, like, there's this bucket gag. And every time, it doesn't cut well. So you don't... It isn't like, oh, you gotta turn off the light. Woo, 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 woo. Transition. He'll, like, get out of bed. Put on his slippers. Walk to the door. Point. Walk downstairs. Cut to the garage. He opens the door. He walks in. He turns off the light. He turns around. He leaves the garage.
Oh, his he has to talk to mother, too.
His mother, the car, says something like, he's so sweet. He comes back upstairs. He gets back in bed. He kicks off his slippers. He pulls on the covers. He gets up again.
Barbara says something nasty. And then, yeah.
Oh, my God. It just... Endless.
Finally, after I think a commercial break, he just decides he's going to sleep in his mother. That is the thing that they didn't say purposely. They never said, I'm just going to sleep in you, Mom. No, they never said that. They said, I'm just going to sleep here in the garage. And this happened to be in the seat of the car. So naturally, Barbara, realizing her marriage might be falling apart, decides to join him in the garage.
In the car.
In Mother.
And then the kids join
him. Then the kids also enter Mother.
And then the dog gets in.
And then the dog. And it's not all at once. It's like they get into bed every time. They're about to go to sleep every time. And then something else happens.
Like turn off the light or the neighbor shows up. The nosy neighbor shows up.
Oh, yeah.
And the police show up.
Right. Because the family gets in the car together. And this isn't like the, I guess it all worked out in the end the episode. They keep getting interrupted because the neighbor and the cop comes out of nowhere. There's no reason for him.
I wasn't convinced he was a cop for a long time. I thought that he was acting like just like a big bully. I thought he was doing recon for the car strippers.
He might have been, because once it was established that they were sleeping in the car, what do they wake up to? The house was robbed of everything. All the furniture, everything is out of the house.
It was like the Grinch came through.
Since it was 3 o'clock in the morning when the police officer checked on them, how did they get robbed between 3 o'clock and, I'm going to assume, 7 a.m. of everything in the house? The wife doesn't seem that upset.
Well, it's okay. The cops caught the guys, so they were going to get it all back.
But, like, who could get movers to even do that in broad daylight?
I think what you're feeling, you just don't understand. That was a joke. That the show was making a joke. There was no laugh track, so you could understand that. But that was humor.
Ooh, humor. Understood.
This episode felt like a kind of exercise in madness. It felt obsessive compulsive.
I wanted to sleep. I wanted to sleep the whole time.
I wanted them to go to sleep so badly. I was like, get to bed.
It was really boring.
And that's the show's greatest sin. Mother says she's come back to help her son, David, who is hapless, yes, but she does nothing to actually further him in any way. Like, she doesn't drive him anywhere interesting. Like, it'd be funny if she drove him to, like, a weird place and then he got a job. Or if she, like, decided to break down in front of a place that he was driving by because she saw a help wanted sign. Anything like that.
There's plenty of room for that in the other 28 episodes after this, because this ran for 30 episodes.
30 episodes. Full season order.
I don't even know how.
Did you look at some of the descriptions of future episodes, Rachel?
I did not.
His mother, the car, falls in love.
Oh my God.
He puts a TV in the garage so she doesn't get bored. And then she somehow gets on a game show.
What? Oh my God.
I think she accidentally gets Shanghai to Mexico in an episode.
Wait.
Dang. Captain Manzini is a recurring villain.
Oh jeez.
And keeps trying to get stuff. There's another thing that happened with Captain Manzini that I think is worth talking about.
What?
Which is that Mother is trying to make it seem like she's useless to him, like she's not worth buying. So she starts honking at him. And Manzini's like, I know what to do to fix this. I'll just need to disconnect the klaxon converter or whatever. Opens up Mother, reaches inside, pulls out a sparking wire, and apparently was being electrocuted by Mother. And he's like, wow. I've had 6 volts go through me before, but not like that. 6 volts, not a lot. Not a lot. It would hurt, but it wouldn't electrocute you so much you fall over.
Or it certainly wouldn't spray electric sparks into the air like a firecracker.
Okay, so do you want to watch more of this?
God, no.
Absolutely not. Oh, no, no, no. I can't do another 2 episodes of My Mother, the Car.
So I just want to get this straight. I'm in agreement. I don't want to see this either. We were dying at Cop Rock. Like, it was so boring. And we were pulling our eyeballs out with Baywatch Nights, both regular and spooky. And yet, My Mother the Car has broken you after 44 minutes.
I don't expect there to be any variety.
None.
With other show, with Cop Rock had moments that were insane. And like the cowboy cop and the cowboy sheriff, was he? The chief, yeah. That was insane. Occasionally a musical number landed. There were moments in Cop Rock where I wasn't bored out of my mind.
Okay, fair enough.
Baywatch Nights, the episode premises really kept me going through it.
Oh, and My Mother the Car Falling in Love doesn't catch you?
Listen, Baywatch Nights, extreme sports, bank robbers was kind of amazing.
It might have been the single best episode we've watched in this whole show.
It was pretty incredible. It sucked, but it was pretty incredible. I wouldn't say it was up to Island standards of incredible.
Yeah,
science.
The Island was pretty amazing.
But I think we're comparing this to the wrong things, because we have to ask if this is worse than Desmond Pfeiffer.
Oh, God. Ooh, yeah. No, I would...
This was too milquetoast. This was too milquetoast to be more offensive than Desmond Pfeiffer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Desmond Pfeiffer, it's like a spicy pepper, and this is just like gruel.
I would like to point out that all the service people were African American. So
they were. It's
everyone,
very true.
The milkman and also the
car
wash people.
Guys.
But the mechanics were white.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. 1965, huh?
1965. But it was in color.
This show was so dull and boring. Cop Rock was sort of all like a weird roller coaster. This was just like a Sunday drive where you get in the car and then you don't even turn it on. You just sit in your garage and just like, oh boy. Speaking of sitting in your garage, we have another isolation letter from Tachi, the human IMDb.
Yay!
He's in his meditation chamber in North Hollywood, and he writes, "Dear worst show on earth, isolation can be tough. Fortunately, I've been preparing for years by choosing North Hollywood as my place of residence. Aside from lighter traffic, the only noticeable change is that the local Slushyland posted a sign requesting people call ahead. Take heed, friends. No dilly-dallying on your slushy plans, and no changing your mind."
Wise, wise.
Speaking of not changing your mind, I committed myself to watching 3 episodes of My Mother, the Car.
3.
And I did. Later, I may commit myself in a different way. Because I have found myself annoyed with more than a few of the more recent sitcoms, occasionally even ones without Ashton Kutcher, my fingers were crossed that the notorious My Mother the Car would charm me with its cheese and datedness. After 3 episodes, I honestly think it gets better. Not good, but better.
What?
Episode 1 is an adventure in awkwardness, unlike, say, Parks and Recreation, which doesn't need a laugh track because it is funny. This pilot needed a laugh track. Instead, it provides that same feeling of when a stand-up comedian is bombing. Episode 2, as I'm sure my co-hosts have discussed, is more of an exercise in redundancy. But I give it credit for having an overall comedic premise. Our hero Crabtree simply can't go the night without checking in on Mother, which leads to back-and-forth wackiness. In comedy, we call this a game. It's a thing that gets repeated, but it's only funny if you find different ways to heighten and explore said game. Better luck next time. Kudos for horrifying me with its Oedipal implications as well. Our hero literally crawls into his mother, determined to sleep. The metaphor gets more confusing when he's joined by his whole family, dog included. But this episode only lacks plot because they were saving all the plot lines for the 3rd episode, entitled How to Make an Auntie Freeze.
Clever.
Which would be a great pun if the episode contained an aunt.
David is late for a wedding. The bride is a friend of his wife, I think. It's unclear. But this wedding is an opportunity to meet the bride's Uncle Rex, who may have a great new job in store for Crabtree. So he is unemployed. Unfortunately, the wedding is at the top of a mountain, which means cold air, which means my mother the car requires antifreeze. Antifreeze apparently contains alcohol, so the car starts drunk driving. See? That's pretty good.
I can see how it's clever in concept. I just can't believe the show would actually pull it off.
The fact that she's drunk, she's literally a drunk driver. Like, it's not apropos by modern standards. Excuse me. A lot happens in this episode. Crabtree stops at a diner to feed coffee to his mother, the car. He is subjected to multiple sobriety tests, and unknowingly, he keeps crossing paths with Rex on his way to the wedding. They both get arrested, and Crabtree, a lawyer, oh my god, he had a trade? Must plead Rex's freedom to the town judge, who is also the town barber.
Wait, if he's a lawyer, why does he need someone to give him a job?
The law is complicated, Alex.
Yeah, but it pays well.
Only if you are good at it, and we've established that David is a moron.
He is pretty much the most useless human alive.
This was the first episode to make me laugh. When Crabtree calls his wife to tell her he's at a diner, he asks the waitress, "What do you call this place?" And she replies, "A dump. I just work here." The waitress hates Crabtree because he feeds his car coffee and later tomato juice to cure its hangover. She's pretty great. Having grown up on Nick at Night, I have a high tolerance for old, dated sitcoms. This is a weak one. But timing is everything. And bad comedy mixed with quarantine madness had me chuckling with delirium. It ain't the worst show on earth. Though the theme song does seem to firmly believe in reincarnation, like it presents it as a hard fact, I am afraid. Perhaps one day, I too could be a car. Buddhistly yours on the endless wheel of reincarnation. Tachi, the human IMDb.
Yeah, he's losing it all right.
Well, that's why we're corresponding with him. This is community service. All righty then. Well, we're going to drive off into the sunset and park this show in the garage of not making it for a week. I don't know. I didn't make a script for this one, folks.
We're driving blind.
Driving blind.
Did you need your mother to take the wheel and, like, give an outro to this?
Oh, God, don't give her ideas. She will. She will.
I've got her on the phone right now.
So if you enjoyed our chicanery, our buffoonery, our carnage here on The Worst Show on Earth, please give us a subscribe and rate us on your podcast platform of choice. We would also love to hear from you. Do you have any fond memories of My Mother the Car? Do you want to talk about how it helps kickstart James L. Brooks' career, for instance, who would later go on to produce The Simpsons? Or maybe you just want to slap one of us through text. You can send us an email at worstshowonearth@gmail.com. That's worstshowonearth@gmail.com. A special shout out also to our usual fourth co-host who couldn't join us today, Michael Tachi. He's out there watching everything he can get his sweet little TV watching gams on, trying to find out some great stuff. Hopefully we'll get him back on the show, but we will see how technology and time allows. So until next time, enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy or boring it is. Through everything I do, and I'm so glad she's here. My mother the car, my mother the car.